Chapter 27. The proximity alert warbled, and Luke straightened up in his seat. After 5 days, they'd made it. "Here we go," he said. "You ready?"
"You know me,"
Hans said from the pilot's seat beside him.
"I'm always ready."
Luke threw a sideways glance at his friend. To all outward appearances, Hans seemed perfectly normal, or at least as close to it as he ever got. But beneath the casual flippancy, Luke had noticed something else over the past few days. A darker, almost brooding sense that had been with him since they left Coruscant. It was there now, and as he studied Hans' face, Luke could see the tension lines there. "You all right?" he asked quietly.
"Oh, sure, fine."
The lines tightened a little further.
"But just once I'd like them to find someone else to go off on these little jaunts across the galaxy. You know, Leia and I didn't even get a day together. We didn't see each other for a whole month, and we didn't even get a day."
Luke sighed. "I know," he said. "Sometimes I feel like I've been running full speed since we blasted out of Tatooine with the droids and Ben Kenobi way back when." Han shook his head.
"I hadn't seen her for a month," he repeated. "She looks twice as pregnant as she did when she left. I don't even know what happened to her and Chewie out there. All she had time to tell me was that those Nogri things are on our side now. Whatever that means. I can't get anything out of Chewie either. Says it's her story, and that she should tell it herself. But I'm about ready to strangle him."
Luke shrugged. "You have to face it, Han. We're just too good at what we do." Han snorted, but some of the tension left his face.
"Yeah, right.
More to the point, I guess. We're on the list of people Leia knows she can trust." Luke continued more seriously. "Until we find that information tap the Empire's gotten to the Imperial Palace, that list is going to stay pretty short."
"Yeah,"
Han grimaced.
"Someone told me the Imperials call it Delta Source. You got any ideas who or what it might be?"
Luke shook his head. "Not really. Gotta be close into the assemblage, though. Maybe even to the Council. One thing's for sure. We'd better get busy and find it."
"Yeah."
Han stirred and reached for the hyperdrive levers.
"Get ready."
He pulled the levers, and a moment later they were again in the blackness of deep space.
"Here we are,"
Han announced. "Right." Luke looked around, an involuntary shiver running up his back. Dead center in the middle of nowhere.
"Should be a familiar feeling for you,"
Han suggested, keying for a sensor scan. "Thanks," Luke said. "But getting stuck between systems with a dead hyperdrive isn't something I want to get familiar with."
"I didn't mean that,"
Han said innocently as he keyed the comm.
"I was talking about Tatooine. Wedge?"
"Right here,"
the other's voice came over the speaker.
"Looks like we've got a target at 047 Mark 166,
Han told him.
"You ready to fly?"
"Ready and eager."
"Okay."
Han took a last look out the viewport and keyed the cargo hatch release.
"Go!"
Luke craned his neck to look in the direction Han had indicated. At first, all he could see was the normal scattering of stars, achingly bright against the total blackness around them. And then he saw them, the softer glow of a ship's running lights. His eyes traced the empty space between them, his brain forcing a pattern to the lights, and suddenly the image coalesced. "It's a dreadnought, all right."
"There's another one just past it," Han said. "And three more to port and a little below."
Luke nodded as he located them, a strange tingle running through him. The Katana fleet. Only now did he realize just how little he'd really believed in the fleet's existence.
"Which one do we check out?"
he asked.
"Might as well take the closest," Han said.
"No," Luke said slowly, trying to focus on the vague impression tingling through him. "No. Let's try that one, over there." He pointed to a set of running lights a few kilometers farther away.
"Any particular reason?"
"I don't really know," Luke had to admit. He could feel Han's eyes on him. Then the other shrugged.
Okay, he said. Sure, we'll take that one. Wedge, you getting all this?
Copy, transport. We're shifting into escort formation around you. So far, it looks clean.
Good,
Han said.
Stay sharp, anyway.
He keyed the transport's intercom into the circuit and glanced at his chrono.
Lando, where are you?
Just inside the cargo hatch. We've got the sled loaded and ready to go.
Okay, Han said. We're heading in.
They were approaching their target dreadnought now, close enough that Luke could see the faint outline of reflected starlight that marked the edge of the hull. Roughly cylindrical in shape, with a half dozen weapons blisters arranged around its midsection and a bow that he'd heard once described as a giant clam with an overbite, the ship looked almost quaintly archaic. But it was a false impression. The dreadnought heavy cruiser had been the backbone of the Old Republic's fleet, and while it might not look as sleek as the Imperial Star Destroyer that had replaced it, its massive turbolaser batteries still packed an awesome punch.
How do we get aboard? He asked Han.
There's the main docking bay,
Han said, pointing to a dim rectangle of lights.
We'll take the ship inside.
Luke looked at the rectangle doubtfully. If it's big enough. His fears proved groundless. The entrance to the docking bay was larger than it had appeared, and the bay itself even more so. With casual skill, Han brought the transport in, swiveled it around to face the opening, and put it down on the deck.
Okay,
he said, keying the systems to stand by and unstrapping.
Let's get this over with.
Lando, Chewbacca, and the four-man tech team were waiting at the cargo hatchway when Han and Luke arrived.
The techs looking somewhat ill at ease with the unaccustomed blasters belted awkwardly to their sides.
Check the air yet, Anselm?
Han asked.
It looks fine,
the head of the tech team reported, offering Han a datapad for inspection.
Better than it should be after all these years. Must still be some droids on housekeeping duty.
Han glanced at the analysis, handed back the datapad, and nodded to Chewbacca.
Okay, Chewie, open the hatch. Tomris, you drive the sled. Watch out for blank spots in the gravity plates. We don't want you bouncing the sled off the ceiling.
The air in the bay had a strangely musty odor about it. A combination of oil and dust, Luke decided, with a slight metallic tang. But it was fresh enough otherwise.
Pretty impressive,
he commented, as the group walked behind the repulsor lift sled toward the main hatchway.
Especially after all this time.
Those full-rig computer systems were designed to last, Lando said. So what's the plan, Han?
I guess we split up, Han said. You and Chewie take Anselm, Tomris, and the sled and go check out engineering. We'll head up to the bridge.
For Luke, it was one of the eeriest trips of his life. Precisely because it all looked so normal. The lights in the wide corridors were all working properly, as were the gravity plates and the rest of the environment system. Doors leading off the corridor slid open automatically whenever any of the group strayed close enough to trigger them, revealing glimpses of perfectly maintained machine shops, equipment rooms, and crew lounges. The faint mechanical noises of idling systems whispered behind the sound of their own footsteps. And occasionally, they glimpsed an ancient droid still going about its business. To all appearances, the ship might just as well have been abandoned yesterday. But it hadn't been. The ships had been floating here in the blackness for half a century. And their crews had not left, but had died here in agony at madness. Looking down empty cross corridors as they walked, Luke wondered what the maintenance droids had made of it all as they cleared away the bodies. The bridge was a long walk from the docking bay, but eventually they made it.
Okay, we're here,
Han announced into his comlink, as the blast doors between the bridge and the monitor anteroom behind it opened with only minor grating sounds.
Doesn't seem to be any obvious damage. What have you got on the sublight engines?
Doesn't look good, Lando reported. Tomris says that 6 of the 8 main power converters have been knocked out of alignment. He's still running the check, but my guess is this tub's not going anywhere without a complete overhaul.
Ask me if I'm surprised,
Han countered dryly.
What about the hyperdrive? Any chance we can at least fly it somewhere in towing range of a shipyard?
Anselm is looking into that, Lando said. Personally, I wouldn't trust it that far.
Yeah, well, we're just here to look the thing over, not get it moving. We'll see what kind of control systems we got left up here, and that'll be it.
Luke glanced up at the space over the blast doors, paused for a second look at the elaborate name plaque fastened there.
It's the Katana, he murmured.
What?
Han craned his neck for a look.
Huh.
He looked oddly at Luke.
Was that why you wanted this one?
Luke shook his head.
I guess so. It was just intuition through the Force.
Han, Luke.
Wedge's voice cut in suddenly.
We've got incoming.
Luke felt his heart jump.
Where?
Vector 210, Mark 21. Configuration... It's an escort frigate.
Luke let out a quiet breath.
Better give them a call. Let them know where we are.
Actually, they're calling us. Hang on, I'll patch it through.
Hailing Captain Solo, this is Captain Vigilio of the escort frigate Quenvis.
A new voice came over Han's comlink.
Do you read?
Solo here, Han said. Calling from aboard the old Republic ship Katana.
Captain Solo, I regret to inform you that you and your party are under arrest. You will return to your own vessel at once and prepare to surrender.
Virgilio's words and the stunned silence that followed echoed through the command observation deck above and behind the Quenfis's bridge. Seated at the main board, Phalia threw a mocking smile at Leia, a slightly less insolent one at Card, then returned his attention to the distant X-Wing drive trails.
They don't seem to be taking you seriously, Captain,
he said toward the intercom.
Perhaps launching your X-Wing squadrons would convince them we're serious.
Yes, Counselor,
Virgilio said briskly, and Leia strained her ears in vain for any signs of resentment in that voice. Most of the warship captains she'd known would be highly annoyed at the prospect of taking line orders from a civilian, particularly a civilian with negligible military experience of his own. But then Phalia would hardly have picked the Quenfis for this mission if Virgilio hadn't been one of his staunchest backers. Just one more indication, if she needed it, as to who was really in charge here.
X-Wings, launch!
There were a series of dull thuds as the two squadrons of starfighters left the ship.
Captain Solo, this is Captain Vigilio. Please respond.
Captain, this is the Wing Commander Wedge Antilles of Rogue Squadron. May I ask your authorization to order our arrest?
Allow me, Captain,
Phalia said, touching the comm switch on the board behind him.
This is Counselor Bosk Phalia, Commander Antilles,
he said.
Though I doubt you're aware of it, Captain Solo is operating illegally.
I'm sorry, Counselor, but I don't understand how that can be. Our orders came from Counselor Leia Organa Solo.
And these new orders come directly from Mon Mothma,
Phalia told him.
Therefore, your authorization is...
Can you prove that?
Phalia seemed taken aback.
I have the order sitting here in front of me, Commander,
he said.
You're welcome to come examine it once you're aboard.
Commander, for the moment the origin of the arrest order is irrelevant,
Virgilio put in, annoyance starting to creep into his voice.
As a superior officer, I order you to surrender and bring your squadron aboard my ship.
There was a long silence. Leia threw a look at Card, seated a quarter of the way around the observation deck from her. But his attention was turned outward through the transperisteel bubble, his face impassive. Perhaps he was remembering the last time he'd been to this spot.
What if I refuse?
Wedge asked at last.
Forget it, Wedge.
Han's voice cut in.
It's not worth risking a court-martial over. Go on, we don't need you anymore. Nice hearing from you, Phalia.
There was the faint click of a disconnecting comlink.
Solo?
Phalia barked, leaning over the comm as if that would do any good.
Solo!
He turned and glared at Leia.
Get over here,
he ordered her, jabbing a finger at the comm.
I want him back!
Leia shook her head.
Sorry, Counselor. Han won't listen to anyone when he's like this.
Phalia's fur flattened.
I'll ask you one more time, Counselor. If you refuse...
He never had a chance to finish the threat. Something flickered at the edge of Leia's peripheral vision, and even as she turned to look, the Quenfis's alarms went off.
What?
Phalia yelped, jerking in his seat and looking frantically around him.
It's an Imperial Star Destroyer,
Card told him over the blaring of the alarms.
And it appears to be coming this way.
We've got company, Rogue Leader.
One of Wedge's X-Wing pilots snapped as the sound of Quenfis's alarms came hooting over the comm.
Star Destroyer, bearing 178 Mark 86.
Got it,
Wedge said, turning the ship away from its confrontation with the Quenfis's approaching starfighters and bringing it around in a tight 180. It was a Star Destroyer, all right. Almost straight across from the Quenfis, with a katana dead center between them.
Luke,
he called.
We see it.
Luke's voice came back tightly.
We're heading for the docking bay now.
Right. Hold it,
Wedge interrupted himself. Against the dark bulk of the Star Destroyer's lower hull, a large group of drive tails had suddenly appeared.
They're launching,
he told the other.
12 marks. Dropships, probably, from the look of the drive trails.
So we hurry,
Han's voice came on.
Thanks for the warning. Now get back to the Quenfis.
The comlink clicked and went dead.
Like pleases we will,
Wedge muttered under his breath.
Rogue Squadron, let's go.
Captain Virgilio was trying to say something on the open channel. Switching to his squadron's private frequency, Wedge kicked the X-Wing's drive to full power and set off toward the katana. In the near distance, just beyond the drive trails of the Quenfis's X-Wings, Rogue Squadron turned and blazed off in the direction of the Star Destroyer.
They're going to attack,
Phalia breathed.
They must be insane.
They're not attacking. They're running cover,
Leia told him, staring at the scenario unfolding outside the bubble and trying to estimate interception points. It was going to be far too close.
We need to get over there and back them up,
she said.
Captain Virgilio.
Captain Virgilio, you'll recall your X-Wings at once.
Phalia cut her off.
Navigation will prepare to make the jump to light speed.
Counselor?
Virgilio asked, his voice sounding stunned.
Are you suggesting we abandon them?
Our duty, Captain, is to get out of here alive and sound the alarm.
Phalia countered sharply.
If Rogue Squadron insists on defying orders, there's nothing we can do for them.
Leia was on her feet.
Captain!
Phalia was quicker, slapping off the intercom before she could speak.
I'm in charge here, Counselor,
he said as she started toward him.
Authorized by Mon Mothma herself.
To blazes with your authority!
Leia snapped.
For a handful of heartbeats, she had the almost overwhelming urge to snatch her lightsaber from her belt and send it slicing through that bland face.
With an effort, she choked the urge down. Violent hatred was the path of the dark side.
Mon Mothma didn't anticipate anything like this happening,
she said, fighting to keep her voice as calm as she could.
Phalia, that's my husband and brother out there. If we don't help them, they'll die.
And if we do help them, they'll most likely still die,
Phalia said coolly.
And your unborn children along with them.
An icy knife jabbed at Leia's heart.
That's not fair,
she whispered.
Reality is not required to be fair,
Phalia said.
And the reality in this case is that I will not waste men and ships on a lost cause.
It's not lost,
Leia insisted, her voice breaking with desperation as she threw a look out the bubble.
No, it couldn't end like this.
Not after all she and Han had survived together. She took another step toward Phalia.
The Quenfis will withdraw,
the Bothan said quietly. and suddenly, from some hiding place within the cream-colored fur, a blaster appeared in his hand.
And neither you nor anyone else is going to change that.
Report from sensors, Captain. The officer at the Judicator scan station called up to the command walkway. All the other dreadnoughts in the region read negative for lifeforms.
So they're concentrating on just the one. Captain Brandeis nodded. That's where we'll hit it then. The rebels will be in far less of a hurry to open fire on the ship that has their own people aboard. Still just the one starfighter squadron moving to intercept.
Yes, sir. The escort frigate and the other two squadrons haven't yet responded. They must have been caught off guard.
Perhaps.
Brandeis permitted himself a slight smile. So it always went with rebels. They fought like crazed animals when they had nothing to lose. But give them a taste of victory and a chance to enjoy the spoils of war, and suddenly they weren't nearly so eager to risk their lives anymore. One of many reasons why the Empire would ultimately defeat them.
Order the dropships into defense formation, he instructed the communications officer. And have Starfighter Command launch two squadrons of TIE fighters to intercept those X-Wings.
He smiled again.
And send a message to the Chimera. Inform the Grand Admiral that we have engaged the enemy.
For a long minute, Han gazed out the bridge observation bubble at the approaching Imperial ships, doing a quick estimate of times and distances and ignoring the fidgeting tech men waiting nervously at the bridge doorway.
Shouldn't we be going?
Luke prompted from beside him. Han came to a decision.
We're not leaving, he said, thumbing on his comlink. We'd get the transport out of the docking bay just in time to run into those dropships and TIE fighters. Lando?
Right here.
Lando's voice came tensely back.
What's happening out there?
Imperial's on the way,
Han told him, moving over to the bridge fire control panel and gesturing to the techs to join him.
Rogue Squadron's moving to intercept, but it sounds like Phalia's crowd is going to run for it.
Lando swore under his breath.
We can't just sit here and let Wedge tackle them alone.
We're not going to,
Han assured him grimly.
Get busy back there and see what shape the power coupling to the turbolaser batteries is in. We'll check the fire control up here. And make it fast. Once they break formation, we won't be able to hit them.
Right.
Han stuck the comlink back in his belt.
How's it look, Shen?
Looks pretty solid.
The tech's muffled voice came from underneath the control board.
Klein?
Connections look good here, too.
The other tech reported from a board across the room.
If we can get the computer to enable the system... There we go.
He looked at Han.
You're all set.
Han sat down at the weapons panel, running his eyes over the unfamiliar arrangement of the controls, and wondering if all this effort was more than just spitting in vacuum. Even these full-rigged, computer-centralized, slave-circuit-equipped dreadnoughts still required over 2,000 people to fly them. But the Imperials wouldn't be expecting a derelict ship to fire, he hoped.
Here we go,
he muttered to himself as he keyed for visual targeting. The dropships were still flying in tight formation, using their overlapping shields to protect them from any lucky shots from the approaching X-Wings. The faster TIE fighters had caught up with them now, sweeping around the group on all sides and starting to pass them.
You've got just one shot at this,
Luke murmured.
Thanks, Han growled. I really needed to hear that.
He took a deep breath, held it, and gently squeezed the fire control triggers. The katana lurched, and as the multiple blazes of turbolaser light flashed outward, he felt the double thud of a disintegrating capacitor bank through the deck. Luke had been right. The ship's first shot had been its last. But it had been worth it. The laser bolts hit the dropship formation dead center, and suddenly the whole Imperial force seemed to come apart in a blaze of multiple explosions. For a few seconds, everything was hidden behind secondary explosions and clouds of debris. Then, through the destruction, a handful of ships shot out. A few more joined them, this group moving with the distinctive limp of damaged property.
Looks like you took out five of the dropships,
Klein reported, peering through a set of macro binoculars pressed tightly against his face.
A few of the TIE fighters, too.
They're going into evasive maneuvers, Luke added.
Okay,
Han said, getting up from the chair and pulling out his comlink.
That's it for that game. Lando?
Whatever you just did, it made a real mess back here. Took out the fire control power coupling, and at least one of the generators. What now?
We get ready for a boarding party, Han told him. Meet us in the port side main corridor, just forward of the docking bay. We'll see what kind of defense we can set up.
Right.
Han shut down the comlink.
Let's go, he said.
This had better be some defense, Luke commented as they left the bridge and headed back down the port side corridor. Especially when we're talking maybe 40-1 odds.
Han shook his head.
Never tell me the odds,
he admonished the other, glancing at his chrono. It could be any time now.
Besides, you never know when the odds are going to change.
We can't just abandon them, Leia said again, dimly aware that she was talking to Phalia as if he were a child.
That's my husband and brother out there, and a dozen good X-Wing pilots. We can't just leave them to the Imperials.
One mustn't place personal considerations above one's duty to the New Republic, Counselor,
Phalia said. His fur rippled, perhaps with appreciation of his own insight, but the blaster in his hand remained steady.
Surely you understand that.
It's not just personal considerations,
Leia insisted, fighting hard to keep from losing her temper again.
It's...
One moment.
Phalia interrupted her, touching the intercom switch.
Captain, how soon to light speed?
Another minute.
Virgilio's voice came back.
Perhaps two.
As quickly as you can, Captain,
Phalia said. He shut the intercom off again and looked back at Leia.
You were saying, Counselor?
Leia consciously unclenched her teeth. If Phalia's aim would only shift, even a little, she might be able to risk jumping him. But as matters stood, she was helpless. Her rudimentary abilities with the Force weren't nearly strong enough for her to grab or deflect the blaster, and he was nearly a meter out of reach of her lightsaber.
Han and Luke are vitally important to the New Republic, she said. If they die or are captured...
The katana's firing, Card commented calmly, getting to his feet as if for a better view. Leia glanced out the bubble as the distant Imperial ships were engulfed briefly in flame.
They know a great deal about the workings of the New Republic, Phalia. Do you want the Empire to get that knowledge?
I'm afraid you're missing the Counselor's point, Leia, Card said, walking over to where she sat. He passed in front of her, dropping a data pad casually onto the tracking console beside her as he did so.
You're concerned about your family, of course, he continued, walking on a couple of paces before turning to face Phalia. Counselor Phalia has a different set of priorities.
I'm sure he does,
Leia said, her mouth suddenly dry as she looked sideways at the datapad Card had set down. On its screen was a short message. Turn on the intercom and calm. She looked up again. Phalia's blaster was still pointed at her, but the Bothan's violet eyes were turned toward Card. Setting her teeth, Leia focused on the board behind him and reached out with the Force. And without even a click, the intercom was on. Another effort, and the comm was too.
I don't understand,
she said to Card.
What other priorities could Counselor Phalia have?
It's simple enough, Card said. Counselor Phalia is motivated solely by his own political survival. He's running away from the fight because he's put his most ardent supporters aboard this ship, and he can't afford to lose any of them.
Leia blinked.
He's what? But I thought...
That this was the normal crew of the Quenfis.
Card shook his head.
Not at all. The captain and senior officers are all that remain, and they were mostly on his side in the first place. That's why Phalia wanted a few hours before leaving Coruscant, so that he could shift duty assignments around and make sure everyone aboard was fully loyal to him. He smiled thinly. Not that any of them realized that, of course. They were given the impression that it was a special security arrangement. Leia nodded, feeling cold all over. So it wasn't just the captain. The entire ship was on Phalia's side, which meant it was over, and she had lost. Even if she was somehow able to take out Phalia himself, she had lost. So you can imagine, Card went on offhandedly, how reluctant Phalia is to risk losing any of them over anything so outmoded as loyalty to one's comrades. Especially after having worked so hard to convince them of how much he cared for the average fighting man.
Leia threw Card a sharp look, suddenly seeing where he was going with this. Is that true, Counselor?
She asked Phalia, putting disbelief in her voice.
All this talk about being on the side of the military was nothing more than a play for political power?
Don't be foolish, Counselor,
Phalia said, fur rippling with contempt.
What other use are soldiers to a politician?
Is that why you don't care if the men of Rogue Squadron die? Card asked. Because they prefer to stay out of politics.
No one cares if their enemies die, Phalia said coldly. And all those who are not on my side are my enemies.
He gestured with his blaster.
I trust Captain Card that I need not say more.
Card raised his eyes from Phalia to the view outside.
No, Counselor, he said. I believe you have said enough.
Leia followed his gaze. Between the Quenfis and the Katana, in twos and threes, Phalia's X-Wing squadrons were heading to Wedge's support, deserting the politician who had just defined the limits of his consideration for their welfare.
Yes,
she murmured.
You've said enough.
Phalia frowned at her, but even as he started to speak, the door to the bridge slid open. Captain Virgilio stood there, flanked by two soldiers.
Counselor Phalia, he said stiffly, I respectfully request your return to your quarters. These men will accompany you.
Phalia's fur flattened.
I don't understand, Captain.
We're closing off this room, sir,
Virgilio said, his voice respectful but with an edge. Stepping over to the Bothan seat, he leaned toward the intercom.
This is the captain, he called. All hands to battle stations.
The alarm promptly went off, and in Phalia's eyes, Leia could see the sudden shock of understanding.
Captain!
You see, Counselor, some of us don't consider loyalty to be all that outmoded.
Virgilio cut him off, turning to Leia.
Counselor Organa Solo, I'd like you to join me on the bridge at your convenience. We've called for a Star Cruiser to back us up, but it'll take a while to get here.
We'll just have to hold them until then,
Leia said, standing up. She looked at Card.
Thank you,
she said quietly.
Not for you or your war,
Card warned her.
Mara and my people could be arriving at any time. I'd just as soon they not be facing a Star Destroyer alone.
They won't,
Virgilio said.
Counselor?
It's a lost cause,
Phalia said, trying one last time as he surrendered his blaster to one of the soldiers.
That's all right,
Virgilio said, smiling tightly.
The whole rebellion was considered nothing more than a lost cause. Excuse me, Counselor. I have a battle to run.
The Chimera was touring the region Pelion had privately dubbed the Depot when the report from the Judicator came in.
Interesting,
Thrawn commented.
They've responded faster than I'd expected. Card must have decided to be generous,
Pelion said, skimming the follow-up report. 5 dropships and 3 TIE fighters destroyed, one of the dreadnoughts apparently under rebellion control and joining battle. It looked like a major scrap was shaping up out there.
I recommend we send another Star Destroyer to assist, Admiral, he said. The Rebellion may have larger ships on the way. We'll go ourselves, Captain, Thrawn said. Navigation, set a course back to the Katana fleet.
The navigation officer didn't move. He sat at his station, his back to them, unnaturally stiff.
Navigation, Thrawn repeated.
Admiral, message coming through the sentry line,
the comm officer reported suddenly.
Unidentified Lancer-class frigate has entered the system and is approaching. They insist on speaking with you personally and immediately.
Thrawn's glowing eyes narrowed as he tapped the comm switch, and suddenly Pelion realized who it must be aboard that ship.
This is Thrawn,
the Grand Admiral said.
Master Sabaoth, I presume?
You presume correctly.
Sabaoth's voice boomed from the speaker.
I would speak with you, Grand Admiral, now.
We're on our way to assist the Judicator,
Thrawn said, his eyes flicking to the still motionless nav officer.
As you perhaps already know, when we return...
Now, Grand Admiral!
Moving quietly in the brittle silence, Pelion keyed for a course projection on Sabaoth's ship.
It'll take at least 15 minutes to bring him aboard,
he murmured. Thrawn hissed softly between his teeth, and Pelion knew what he was thinking. In the fluid situation of a spontaneous battle, a 15-minute delay could easily be the difference between victory and defeat.
Captain, order the peremptory to assist the Judicator,
the Grand Admiral said at last.
We'll remain here to consult our ally.
Thank you, Grand Admiral,
Sabaoth said, and abruptly the nav officer gasped and slumped in his chair.
I appreciate your generosity.
Thrawn reached to his board, and with a vicious flick of his wrist, cut off the comm. He looked down into the crew pit and motioned to two bridge guards.
Sick bay,
he told them, indicating the now shivering nav officer.
Where do you suppose Sabaoth found that lancer?
Pelion murmured as the guards helped the nav officer out of his seat and carried him aft.
He most likely hijacked it,
Thrawn said, his voice tight.
He's been sending messages for us over distances of several light years, and he certainly knows how to take control of people. Apparently, he's learned how to meld the two abilities.
Pelion looked down into the crew pit, a shiver running up his back.
I'm not sure I like that, sir. I don't much like it myself, Captain.
Thrawn agreed, turning his head to look out the viewport.
It may be time, he added thoughtfully, to reconsider our arrangement with Master Sabaoth.
To reconsider it?
Very carefully.